Greetings. Good to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God this morning. A special Sunday for us here at Journey. This is our fall relaunch Sunday, and this is where we kind of officially relaunch, or you could even say where we commission all of our ministries for the launch of the year. We kind of run like a lot of churches on the school calendar, and so this is the top of our year, and we'll be doing our fall relaunch. We relaunch our different ministries, and you get to hear some sneak previews about what we are believing God for, about the particular things that we do in our church for this upcoming year. And even after that, there's a potluck, and so you are welcome to join us. You can eat, have some fellowship. It's going to be really, really cool, and it's great to be here to be able to do that today. We do this, though, fall relaunch, just a little bit different today because we do this coming off of a really bizarre week in the life of our nation. A lot of you know that Charlie Kirk was assassinated a few days ago. I was actually in Alaska, and I was coming back to Tacoma, or coming back to Washington, and got the news just kind of on looking on my phone on the plane, and went, wait a minute, what? You know, and realized that the whole landscape has changed. A lot of you may know him, may not. You know, everybody is not in tune with every single thing, right? We're all different, and we all tune into different stuff. Charlie Kirk was a guy who went to college campuses. He was only 31 years old, and he went to college campuses and challenged people to have actual intellectual debate and discussion, because his view was, when you stop talking, bad things happen. In your marriage, bad things happen in your country when you stop talking. And he knows that a lot of people have stopped talking. And so you could see videos of him, they're just gobs of him all over his YouTube channel. He started a group called Turning Point USA, and they have chapters around the country where they just challenge people to talk across differences. And sometimes those things get pretty heated, but in other times there's a lot of light that gets exposed. And some people who had some massive problems with him, one of those decided to take his life. He wasn't just a political activist, though. This guy was a believer in Christ, and he evangelized people at the exact same time. It's actually people who come to know Jesus through what he was doing. And so this is a brother in Christ who was cut down in the prime of life, 31 years old, married, had kids, and his wife and kids were there when he was shot. And so we relaunch into a different kind of world. And I feel like the past 5 years, you know, I've had to have some version of this talk from up here, where something weird happens, and all of a sudden we stop and say, okay, hey, this happened, and we got to talk about it. And so here we are yet again, because there's things that are good is always getting better, but evil's always getting worse. And that's a good way to describe much of the sweep of history. And we're in that kind of moment right now. So we relaunch into that kind of moment. I'll be revisiting this again as we wind up relaunch before we close today. So I'll be coming back to this and getting into the word concerning this. But I do want to start out in a word of prayer about this moment right now, because it's appropriate to do so. It doesn't feel right to just say, oh yeah, you know, something really terrible happened, and let's just go on with our relaunch. We are relaunching into a different world right now. Right? A lot evil's getting worse. But there's another side to that. We're also relaunching into a world in which good is getting better, in the sense of not just some general amorphous moral good, but where the living God is moving in a way that we do not anticipate. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But that's the moment that we're in and that we're relaunching into. So I just want to start us out in a word of prayer, and then we're going to, Cameron Cox is going to come up, and he's going to talk about missions. But I want to start out in a word of prayer in this moment and just pray over this moment. So pray with me about what we're doing here. Pray with me. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, we know that we are a local church, and we have our own concerns and the kinds of things that we're doing to reach our neighborhood for Christ Jesus with the gospel. And there's gobs of other local churches that also are like us. They love you, and they love the gospel of Jesus Christ. They love non-believers and want to see them won to the kingdom. And we all have our individual concerns. But Lord, there's a moment right now in our nation that's weighing on all of us who bow to King Jesus, because a brother in Christ has been cut down in the prime of life. And the landscape has changed in a lot of ways for the worse, but also in a lot of ways unexpectedly for the better, because you are a great God of great redemption. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, we pray for our nation right now. We pray for our nation, Lord God, that is trapped in the grip of some very deep darkness. We pray for revival in our nation, because we know, God, that right now it's not going to be politics. We're not going to vote our way out of what we send our way into. It's Christ or chaos. And so we pray, Lord, for the reign of Jesus Christ to shine through, Lord, in every heart, in every home, in our institutions, Lord God. We pray for your deep victory in us, in our church, in our families. May it be so, Lord God. May it be so. The light has shined into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it and will not overcome it. Father God, may your reign be complete in us, and may your reign be complete in our world. Father God, as we relaunch, and not just from this day, but for the rest of this year, help us, Lord, to relaunch into a world that is a bit darker now, but also where your light shines brighter. Shine through us. Have your way through us, Lord God, in the name of King Jesus. Be with us. Amen. We are a part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and as a not only a denomination, but as a denomination with an incredibly powerful focus on missions and sending people out into the world to every tribe, tongue, and nation for the sake of the gospel. Every year we have a different missions focus. We kind of cycle through. And this year it's a missions focus. It's actually tied to basically just our normal theme that we have as Christian Missionary Alliance. And it's all of Jesus for all the world. All of Jesus for all the world, right? And that's going to be our missions focus for this year. So you'll be seeing that throughout the rest of the 2025 year, and then also into the 2026 year. And the CMA has given us a bit of a promo video to be able to show, to motivate us and to inspire us concerning mission, not only on the foreign mission field, but then also mission here at home. And we're going to play it for you right now. And then Cameron Cox is going to come, and he's going to give us a missions update, and then also give us some vision for some things coming up in terms of how we engage in mission here at our church. So we're going to play that for you right now.
The Alliance has always been a deeper life and missions movement. We care about bringing all of Jesus to all the world.
God, being the Good Shepherd, cares about that one lost sheep. And the reality of our world today is that 42% of the people groups around the world are unreached.
One culture alone is not enough to magnify God's name. And it's going to take all of us together. We see that in Revelation, that it's every tribe and every tongue and every nation. And that is why it's for all the world, because all of us together are made to glorify God.
The Great Commission is the responsibility of the whole church. We have to send gospel presence to every part of the globe, whether that be across oceans to some of the hardest, most difficult to reach places, or in our own neighborhoods down the street.
Going to all the world is something that is more than just a commandment from God. It's a lifestyle. And if we do this, we're going to actually see Jesus in all nations.
This is an invitation from Jesus. And Jesus invites us to share that invitation to others so that they will get a chance to respond and become part of our family.
Experiencing all of Jesus is knowing that you're loved, knowing that you're never alone.
All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us.
All right, hi, I'm Cameron Cox. I'm the missions deacon here at Journey. And so as you saw from that video, the CMA, Christian Missionary Alliance, which we're a part of, is very active around the world in making sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is made known. And one of the updates from the CMA is that in this past year, they've sent out 49 new international workers or missionaries out across the nations. And so, you know, we want to be praying for them, and we will in a minute. Just pray for their work and their impact, their protection, and that God uses them mightily. One of the things that we're looking at doing again this year, coming up in the next few months, will be Operation Christmas Child. We did that last year for the first time as a church, and we put together, I think it's 109 Christmas boxes that went out. This is part of Franklin Graham's ministry, and one of these boxes go around the world, and it's not just that they're giving Christmas boxes, you know, toys and gifts to kids around the world, but they are sharing the gospel with families. You know, these gifts turn out to be doorways into being able to share the gospel with families around the world and into a lot of places where Jesus is not well known. So we're going to be doing that again. There'll be information in the coming months about Operation Christmas Child. Seeds of Hope is another ministry that we've done for a long time here. And so in the coming year, we'll have some info about Seeds of Hope, where we have put care packages together for homeless in our community. And so those are a couple of the things. And just, by the way, a little bit of background. You know, I think it's good to know some history, too. And, you know, this church, we've sent mission teams to Cambodia. In the last couple of years, we've sent mission teams, especially our youth, to Mexico to build homes for people who don't have a secure place to live. And so, and we partnered with YWAM and Homes of Hope for that. So, you know, we're looking to do more of those things. We wanted to see, think those types of activities continue to. So stay tuned as we look into what might be next in that. And think about maybe serving overseas next time we have an opportunity to do so. So, yeah. Anyway, let's go ahead and just pray for a minute. So, Lord, we do just thank you, Lord, for the workers, international workers that the CMA is sending out. And, Lord, that you would protect them and their families, Lord. But we do pray that you would give them favor in the nations that they're in and in the communities that they're in, and that they would just be bold lights for you in those nations. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray even if you're stirring the hearts of maybe some people in our own church to do that, Lord, that they would lean into that in prayer and that they would talk with Pastor Myron or, you know, our elders or myself, Lord. But, Lord, you care about the nations. You care about all people, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we do pray for our nation as well, Lord, that you would raise up the workers to go out and share your love with the people that need to know it in our community. So we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. In this section of our relaunch, this is a section where we relaunch for invitation. And there's just three elements to this. Invitation for the gospel, invitation for baptism, invitation for partnership. We are always, this isn't just a relaunch in terms of a one-time thing. We are always a church that wants to invite people who do not know Jesus to come to know Jesus. That's it. That is 24/7, 365. We never close. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christian church that bows the knee to King Jesus, you are always on invite mode for that. And so we want to make sure that we put that front and center, that we're always on invite mode. George Verwer was a great missionary. He's a great missionary and also a great missions mobilizer. Some of you may know his name. He died, George Verwer died about 10, 15 years ago. But I remember him, being able to see him at the Urbana Missions Conference some years ago, and he was at a lot of Urbana Missions Conferences over the years. And George Verwer had a statement that always haunted me in a good way. He said, you're either a missionary or you're a mission field. You're either a missionary, someone sent to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to bear on people's hearts and on the world, or you're a mission field, you need that gospel. Right? Because you've not bowed the knee to King Jesus, right? And I think that's just absolutely true. If you wanted to wrap up all of humanity since Christ, that is the way you'd wrap up all of humanity. You're either a missionary or you're a mission field, right? And if you're a missionary, what it of course means for all of us is that you have been transformed by the power of the message of the gospel of Jesus, and you are sent out to proclaim that message. And that message is very simple. It is that human beings have messed up royally before a holy God. God created us in goodness, in awesomeness, in love, in harmony with each other and all the created order and himself. And we screwed up just massively and rebelled against him. We spat in God's face. And we did so from the beginning, and we've been doing so ever since. And all of us have inherited this kind of rebellious nature against God. It's not that it's not that you're Hitler. People always say, well, I'm not Hitler. You don't have to be. I'm really happy that you're not Hitler, right? That's really cool. Most people are not Hitler. Praise God, right? The problem is that to fall short of what God has planned for humanity, all you have to do is live life the way you see fit. That's it. That's all you have to do to be in total rebellion against the holy God is to say, you know what? I see the way you want it. I choose something different. I'm like Burger King. I'm going to have it my way. That's all you have to do to be worthy of God's wrath. It's all you have to do to be worthy of eternal damnation. Because God cannot want anything but the best. He can't settle for like halfway us. He can't because he's too good. It's this odd problem. God is too good. He can only do perfection. Right? He can't settle because he is the thing that good is. And so he says, be the way I made you. We say no. God says, that's a problem. And not only that, we will die. And then we have to be judged. But God is merciful in addition to being a judge. And in his mercy, God says, but wait, I love you. It's like when your kids do something absolutely awful and you're like, ah! And then the other part of you goes, after you chill out, you're like, but I love this creature who I made, right? And so there's a tension between God's justice and God's mercy. And the way God breaks that tension creatively is he says, I'm going to send someone who will represent them before me and who will bear their wrath before me because I'm a God of justice. And that is how I will forgive them if they will receive the one whom I have sent. And that's Jesus. He sent a God-man. Authentically God, authentically human, smashed together to show us who God is and to show us who we're supposed to be at the same time. And Jesus led this great life where he did human things divinely and divine things humanly. And ultimately, he went to the cross to pay for our sins so we could be forgiven. And then God showed on Easter Sunday that what happened on Good Friday was not his defeat, but was his strange victory that he accomplished in love for humanity. And when we receive Christ, we receive forgiveness. The perfection's been done. The perfect one, the sinless one, has died for the sinner. And we receive forgiveness, and we are brought back together with God and brought back together with one another. That's the gospel. And we're freed from all the rebellion, all the spitting in God's face. We're freed from that. And allowed to move beyond that and to do what God says. That's repentance, right? We're always inviting into with the good news of King Jesus, always. And so we relaunch that, but really didn't need a relaunch. We're kind of already launched and we're hanging out in orbit and doing what the Lord says. But if you're here today and that applies to you and you are a mission field and not a missionary, today is the day to receive this gospel. Today is the day to repent and to give the Lord the keys to your heart and say, Lord, you drive. You drive. Today is the day. Don't let this day pass by. Whether you're here with us today or you are taking us in on the live stream, don't let this day pass by without submitting to King Jesus. Right? Today is the day. Also, we have an invite for baptism, right? If you are a person who has believed that good news, right? Even if you started believing today, and you would like to receive the sacrament of baptism, we got you. We got in this floor right here. That's the Dunkin' machine, right? It opens up, and lo and behold, the floor opens up, and we can fill it with baptism water, you know. And we've had the pleasure of baptizing a few kiddos earlier this year, and we had one adult, actually, unexpectedly earlier this year, praise God, who had freshly received Christ Jesus. And so if you are unbaptized for whatever reason and you have committed to Christ, you could be next. So open invite for baptism here. and you can indicate on any of the little cards that you have in the seat back in front of you about whether or not you would like to receive baptism. And then also, if you want to talk more about Jesus and the gospel of Jesus, indicate there too that you want to talk more with any of us. Also, last thing, invitation for partnership. Partnership here, what other churches call membership, we call partnership. So if you're like weird on that word, just think, you ever been to church and you became a member? Just stick that in there for partnership, and that's the same thing. If you'd like to become a person who is, you know, ultimate, you know, committed to Journey, like officially on paper, and you want to know more about us and our denomination and our particular priorities, and you want to commit to that, we got you for that too. There will be a partnership event in October, October 12th, just after church, and where we can give people more information about what it is to be a Journey partner. I promise you, it's a painless process, right? And also a pretty fun process, but partnership as well. In any event, what we'd like to do to move on to another section of our relaunch is for our next gen ministries. So if Aaron, who heads up our Journey Kids, and Todd can come up, Todd, who heads up our student ministry, it'd be great. And if George, if at the end of that, if you could lead our congregation in prayer for our next generation ministry, that would be super amazing. All right, but Aaron and Todd are going to give you a little bit of a rundown for how we're relaunching the next gen ministry, and then George is going to lead the congregation in prayer for that.
I'm Aaron, and I get to work with the kids, and it's so much fun. And I just want to take a minute to thank all the volunteers. They serve really faithfully month after month, and we couldn't do what we're doing without them. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and a round of applause for them. We have some new kiddos joining us that are first graders, and we have some kids that are moving up to meet with Todd in the middle school. So, yay!
So I also want to thank the volunteers for youth. We had a great youth camp. A lot of people stepped out of their comfort zone and came and helped us for a couple days, and it was a big deal. But that has led to some changes as well. Youth group is changing. Over the last 5 years, we have operated as a high school, middle school combined group. And we experienced some growing pains last year. And so it's become apparent it is time to split high school and middle school. And we've been doing that on some Sunday mornings for a while, but we are officially splitting our midweek meetup time. So high school ages are going to continue to meet on Tuesdays from 6:30 to 8, and I will continue to lead that. And the middle school group is a complete relaunch, a new night, a new structure. It's going to be twice monthly, starting on the second and fourth Fridays of each month. They will be meeting, and that group is going to be led by the Amrines and the Franklins. So there is a lot of opportunity for people who want to serve in youth ministry to come get involved in some new stuff, because we're splitting, but that also means, I hope it means we're growing. So there we go.
Our youth, no matter what age they are, infant to high school and even college, are so important to us. They are going to be the ones that are going to step into where a lot of us are today. They're the ones right now facing a lot of issues that we as adults never thought possible in the world, in the educational system. And so we do want to lift up them in prayer this morning, but we also want to lift up those in leadership. And I personally want to thank Aaron and Todd for their leadership and for all the volunteers that have in the past and will be this year. And I know they're always looking for more volunteers, so I want to pray for that also. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to have children, middle school, high school, college, Lord Jesus, a part of our family here, our fellowship. And Lord, we want them to learn about you, and I know that many already in their homes, Lord God, have been raised to know you, and many, Lord God, have committed their lives to you, Lord God. But I pray for them all, Lord Jesus, that on whatever day of the week it is that they are a part of our ministries here, whether it's Sunday or midweek, Lord Jesus, that they, Lord God, would have their hearts and eyes open to your truth. And Lord, we know that that can't be possible without the leadership that we have for our children and for the volunteers that help and the volunteers that are needed. So Lord, we want them to come here and to hear your truth, Lord Jesus, and to fellowship with you. And Lord God, I pray over our children, Lord Jesus, whatever that age is, Lord God, from infant to college, Lord God, that you would be with them, Heavenly Father, that you would open their hearts and eyes to your truth every time it's presented to them, Lord God, that they would be able to take that truth and it would carry them through the week, Lord Jesus, whether it be in the younger ones in their homes and what they see on the media or out in the world or the school children, Lord God, and college-age children, what they are hearing and seeing in our society and our education, that they would be able to hang on to that truth, Lord God, but also, Lord God, that they would be able to share that truth, Lord Jesus, to those around them, their peers, Heavenly Father. And so, Lord God, I lift up our ministry, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for those people, Lord God. Give them strength and wisdom and protection. I lift up our children, Heavenly Father, before you. Give them understanding and wisdom and strength and protection, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And I think that at this point, Aaron, we need to dismiss our younger kids to go and to be with Miss Aaron, and then middle school, high school, you are welcome to be with us and to stay with us for the rest of our time. Next up is our small group ministry. So we got a lot of relaunch happening with small group ministry. And what we're gonna be doing is small group leaders are gonna come up, give us a little snippet of what they have going on for the fall. And then we're going to be praying for small groups, right? We're gonna actually pray and commission our small groups and our small group leaders. So if our small group leaders could come up, we'd really like to see you. See, even the cars are getting in the action. They're relaunching too, right? It's auto relaunch, man. We're in. All right, so if we want to do, George, could you grab that mic, please, would you mind? All right, so if we want to do just a little rundown of what your small group is. Thank you, Gail. Yay. All right. So if you want to do a little rundown of what's happening with your small groups, that would be lovely. George, you're up.
Oh, okay. The name given us is Boomers, okay? And that might tell you something about us. I would say probably right now, presently, there's probably no one under 65 in that group. But that doesn't mean there can't be. And so I would invite anybody interested in it, no matter what age you are, to join us. It would be a blessing to us. And if you're younger, you just give more insight into some of us that are older. And we have had an awesome group, a very supportive group. And one of the points that we have made a decision on, because we are what you would say an older generation, is we want to be praying for our church and our younger generations, and we do that. We pray for individual families, but we pray for our church as a whole, and that's kind of our focus, and I appreciate that. We meet on Thursday evening at 6:30 here at the church, and we have always studied a book of the Bible, and I say that meaning we don't get a outside book and look and study at it. And I'm not saying anything negative of that, but it's been our heart to just take a book of the Bible and to study it verse by verse. And sometimes we go through one book for a year, and sometimes that one book bumps into the next year. Sometimes we go through a couple of books during the year. And I team lead with Mark Scott. Mark and Allie are out of town right now, but I team lead with Mark Scott. So every other week, one of us will have it, and it works out great. We haven't decided the exact Bible book that we are going to study this year. I'm sorry not to have that information this morning, but we're still working on that, and we really work amongst the group and find where they really, maybe God's put it upon them, their heart to do that, and we're in that process. So Thursday at 6:30.
My name's Deb Palfanier. This is Gail Foster. We're leaders of the Women's Bible Study groups that meet during the week on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. Gail's group meets here at church, and the group that I lead meets at my home. The address I'm not going to give right now for security reasons, but if you're interested, I'd be happy to give that to you. This year, Gail's group is going to be studying a book that focuses on the Gospel of John. It's called Show Me Your Glory. And the group that meets at my house is going to be studying Luke in the Land. So it's a study of the Gospel of Luke. And it's focused on the actual locations where Jesus worked, lived, ministered, and we get to see those actual places through video. So we are beginning this coming Wednesday, the 17th, but we're starting with a potluck here at church at 11 o'clock, which is outside our normal time. And then the following week, we will be starting our regular studies at 10 o'clock. And we'd appreciate your prayers. Thank you.
Something I like particularly about this book is the book of John is actually in the back, so you're not having to shuffle and through the Bible and find everything. It's right here. So,
and we have both of the books that we're going to be studying here this morning, so if you're interested in looking at those, you're welcome to come and find us and have a peek.
Right, and just quickly, I head up the Couples with Kids group that meets at our house on Sunday evenings at 5 o'clock. And so if you have any interest in that, you could definitely let us know. If we are studying, let's see, this time around we're looking at Proverbs. And so we're going to be looking at a book that takes you through a lot of Proverbs applying to different aspects of life called Making Life Work. And so that's where we're going to be that'll take us through probably the spring. Excuse me, through the fall. Sorry about that. And so we'll be hanging out with that. And again, it's Couples with Kids. So if, hey, you like it loud, you know, we got you, right? We got you. But it's pretty fun. We got a split level. So, you know, our kids get to go and hang out and make mischief in the basement. So it's pretty fun. And Zoomer crowd, I know that you guys, small group meets, this is a crowd that meets via Zoom, and they've been making that work for a few years. It's been pretty awesome. But you are going to be doing Into the Wild. Right. Okay. There we go. So we got one small group that's going to be joining our Christian Ed effort. So that'll be kind of a combo. And then last thing about small groups, if you don't have a small group and you're interested and you say like, you know, I don't have one, or maybe the schedule ones don't work for you because you got a different kind of schedule. Have I got a plan for you? Microgroups. Basically what a microgroup is it's a group of 3 to 4 people. It's a limited engagement, 4 to 6 weeks. We could stretch that to 8 weeks if necessary. But you're studying the Word of God with friends, and you get some help every step of the way. There's some cool helps that I can give you to launch a microgroup, to do a check-in in the middle, and then also do an assessment at the end to see if a microgroup wants to continue. So if you're cool meeting with people and saying, hey, never been a group with this person. In fact, I don't even really know this person all that well, but I want to be a part of a group. And you want to say, but you don't want a long-term commitment, right? You want something a little bit shorter. You want a limited engagement. We've got you. So we could do micro groups. So if you're interested, there's a sign up in the lobby, but it's a really cool way to get started in case you are kind of, you don't know in terms of scheduling and you're just trying to figure some things out. It's a good way to get your toe in the water. So micro groups are available. In any event, I'm going to go ahead and pray for small groups and for small group leaders as we commission them. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, we pray your heavy anointing on all small group leaders and all small groups. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that you have done great work in people's lives throughout the Christian church and throughout history. And smaller groups of people who meet, who are committed to you, who are committed to spiritual growth, and who want to see the impact that you are going to have in their lives through community and then through also the word, through the power of the Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would that you continue to move us one degree closer to Christ-likeness through our small groups. May that happen. May it be so, Lord God. Please do it in the name of Christ. We're going to trust you for this. Amen. And then next up is our Christian Ed as well. We're relaunching Christian Ed, and there's two elements to this in particular for Christian education. The first one is on Sundays, and just in a few weeks, so September 28th, we are going to be engaging a series called Quick Shots, Fast Answers to Hard Questions. This is an apologetic series, and this is meant to empower you to defend the faith. And I'd say also to have good conversations about Christianity, about God, Christianity, about the Bible with friends of yours who do not know Jesus and who might have some challenges, who might be skeptical about some elements. This is meant to make it so that you don't need a degree in philosophy, you don't need a seminary degree. These are meant to empower you for everyday conversations with everyday people just like you. And so this meets for 45 minutes, starting in 2 weeks. It'll meet in the library here at Journey. And we got a video component to it with a guy named J. Warner Wallace, who's an excellent Christian apologist and a former atheist, actually, former hardcore atheist and former police detective, who took his detective skills once he came to know Jesus and applied that to defending the faith, and he's done so spectacularly. So we're going to be looking at Quick Shots together, and that'll be, again, starting in 2 weeks, 9 to 9:45 here on Sundays. And then also we've been promoting this heavily, Into the Wild, Practicing the Presence of God and People, and that's going to be headed up by Roger Corville, who could not be here this morning, but a lot of you have expressed a lot of interest and talked with him about Into the Wild, and there's still time to sign up for that. That goes from September 24th through November 5th, and that's going to be a really good time to grow in the power of the Holy Spirit in everyday conversations and everyday relationships. So we have that happening. And could I get to pray for adult Ed? Could I get Jonathan Franklin to come up and lead us in prayer as we launch for adult education?
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these opportunities to learn more about you. Thank you for this apologetics class, for a chance to learn the reasons that we have to hope in you. Lord, we pray that those who are supposed to be in that class, that you would draw their hearts to that, and that you give Pastor Myron wisdom in leading that, and help all those who attend to grow in wisdom and knowledge of you. And we pray also, Lord, for this Into the Wild class. Thank you for the chance to grow in walking with your Spirit, walking in step with what you're doing. Lord, we pray that you would, again, call those who are supposed to be part of that class to that class. And we thank you for Roger and his leadership there, and that you'd guide him and each of those that attend into a deeper walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In the last two, for men's and women's ministry, this is before we get to some more worship. For men's ministry, the relaunch is that our men's breakfast is relaunching. The first one will be on Saturday, September 27th, so a few weeks from yesterday, 8 a.m. here at Journey. So pancakes, some sausage, and some good time hanging out as dudes and talking about what the Lord wants from us uniquely as men. And then also for women's ministry, there's a lot more coming up for women's ministry than this, but the launch will be the Venture Conference. That's a conference with the Alliance Northwest. That is on Saturday, October 11th, and it's 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. in Woodinville Alliance Church. So a little bit different thing for the women's conference, because usually that's in September. Note that it is a little bit later, October. And then also usually it's at Lighthouse. This time it shifted to Woodinville, which is a bit further north, but you could save the date for that. But that's the Venture Conference, and there's been some publicity about that, but there'll be more coming up. So if you have interest for that, you can talk to some of the women's ministry leaders here at Journey about the Venture Conference. I'm going to pray for the launch of men's and women's ministry, and then we're going to engage in more worship. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we do pray for your deep empowerment and for the power of your Holy Spirit to be with us as we relaunch men's and women's ministries. Lord, we pray that you would work in us a great power to be able to discern how men and women uniquely make great impacts for the kingdom of God and how you are growing us into Christ's likeness. We pray, God, that you'd help us to be a church that can lead in that way, can lead men and women uniquely into Christ's likeness, into all your purposes, into all your truth, and into all your glory. For the great name of Jesus, amen. Next up, Todd's going to give us an update on our online ministries, and then Andrew is going to come up and give us an update on finances, and then we're going to close out our time, and then we can get to our potluck.
Boy, when you look at the lyrics to the song we just sang, it's easy to see how a big movement of God could happen like what's been happening down in Oregon. You know, we don't really see it here in person, but we've seen more than 30, really close to 40 people come to Christ out of really dark situations, like people that they did not believe that God would ever be for them. And it all began with conversations that we just refused to give up. And that's one of the main keys. But things are changing now down there. They are in a relaunch of their own, a big transition. When Karen started doing this 3 years ago, like really hitting this ministry hard down there, she already had really bad health complications, and those have just simply worsened and gotten to the point that it happens to all of us in ministry. At some point, you just say, man, I can't serve people on the same kind of level. And she has reached that point. And so the Oregon crew is trying to figure out how to transition into the next phase. Is that going to mean a church relaunch like what we've been praying for, like a church plant? Or is that going to mean them filtering into churches in the area down there? And so please be in prayer about that. Please do. I've been dealing with a lot of people emailing me saying, we just want things to stay the way they are. Like we want to, you know, somebody emailed me this morning saying, I've met somebody. I just wish I could bring her to Karen because Karen, she's so good at getting people to open up. And I wrote this response to her, and then I had this exact same conversation with somebody here before church. And I've been having so many conversations about this. I'm just going to read my response to this person, to you guys. And I want you to personalize it any way that you can, because this is true for every single believer in Jesus Christ. Anyone who's asked him into his life, this is true for you. I said, yes, Karen gets people to open up, but I think you've got that in you too. Every single one of you in here has that in you. Not in the same way that Karen does. You may not bake her cookies and hold her hand, but God brought her to you, and you will have everything you need to get her to open up. The key is time. Never give up. The other person can give up, but we can't. We can stumble through it, do it poorly, do it wrong, all the while paying attention to what isn't working and asking God how we can tweak our methods. But the one thing we cannot do is give up. We are last chance station. And that's who you are to anybody you are talking about to the gospel. You are last chance station for all you know. This is how we have to see ourselves. We are given assignments from the creator of the universe. Who are we to give up on them? Who are we to think we can't accomplish them? We simply ask him for help and more help. And I realize we're going long, but I've got an exercise I want to do with you guys. It's really fast. I want you all to shut your eyes. Please, please close your eyes. And repeat after me. The work is so big. The harvest is so big that God would even send me. Thank you. You can open your eyes. This is one of the things that really hit me many years ago when I first started in ministry. I was reading Isaiah 6, and you get that passage where Isaiah finds himself standing before God, seeing God and seeing how holy he is and realizing, you know, seeing himself really for the first time. He's like, well, I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, I live among people of unclean lips. I'm not worthy of this. And God, not missing a beat, just says, who will go for us? And Isaiah makes the right answer. He says, here am I, send me. And then the angel just comes immediately, cleanses him. He's sent. And that same question is posed to all of us every day. Here am I, send me. That should be the answer. That's the answer we're looking for. What is your answer when God says, who will go for us? Let's pray. Father God, I do want to lift up the online ministry. We don't know how that is going to change, but we know that you are in it. Lord, we don't always know what we need to do, and we don't always feel like we're enough. Lord, help us to trust that you know what to do. Help us to trust that you are enough. Move your kingdom forward. Help us to remember that you have promised us that you will build your kingdom and the gates of hell will not stand against it. Lord, help us all to raise our hands and say, here I am, send me. Pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Andrew. I'm the help the leadership board with finances, and I want to take a few minutes just to kind of cover the ground. But before we do, I was just thinking about things we've been talking about with Relaunch, and one of the things that just kept coming to mind was the idea of passing the baton. You know, we talk about, you know, the older generation passing it to the younger, and one of the ways that happens is through finances. And it's kind of one of those behind the scenes things that gets passed down. It's not the small group, it's not volunteering, but it's kind of like the energy bar when you run a race in a marathon. If you've ever ran one, you hit a, you know, you run and you hit a station, you're just tired. And it's one of those things that you grab and you go. And I just want to say thank you. For your faithfulness to what God's put on your heart. Where we're at right now, for the year, we had a budgeted giving goal of $315,000, which was a little bit of a stretch, but we felt that's where God was calling us to be, to do the things that we felt like he wanted us to do. And right now, where we should be is almost $206,000. We're at $255,000. That puts us at 124% of where we should be. And that is a huge thank you. And we give glory to God because I know that many of you give sacrificially. It's not easy, especially in the world we live in today. And things are tight, and you give out of obedience. And so thank you for that because a lot of the things we've been talking about and all the things that we feel like God's leading us to in the future can't be done without that. So thank you so much. Just quickly on the expense side, we'll go to the next slide. We're doing pretty good there. We're running under budget. So we're about 10%. Our total expenses for the year are about 10% below what we had budgeted. So we're doing well there. So like I said, I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for fueling us, being the encouragement. I can't tell you how much from the leadership board perspective and from the staff to see these numbers is really encouraging because it's like, it's like I said, it's that energy bar that keeps pushing people forward. Hey, we're following God and everybody's faithful and it just is a huge encouragement. So thank you so much from that perspective. So with that, I'm just going to end us in this little talk with prayer and we'll move forward. Dear Heavenly Father, Holy Father, we come before you and we thank you that you are a good Father who provides for us individually. You know what we need, but Lord, as corporately as a body. And we thank you that you've been faithful in our finances. That Lord, there have been years where things have been tight, but you have poured out your abundance upon us and we give you praise, we give you glory for that. And Lord, we also give you praise and give you thanks for those who are obedient in this area of their life. We know that it's not easy. And Lord, we know that obedience is better than sacrifice. And we give you praise and glory for that. And just pray that you'd be with us as we finish this year strong, that we would glorify and honor you in all that we do on this side of our church. In your name we pray. Amen. There
we go. All right, that's better. Sorry about that. Amen. I started out at the top talking about the kind of world that we are relaunching into. And this is going to be the end as we wind up. And just to give you a little sneak peek, this is a sermon series that we are going to relaunch into starting next week. It's from Acts. It won't be going straight through the Acts of the Apostles, but there'll be some scenes from Acts of the Apostles. And the series is just called None Other, Confident Witness for a Christ-Starved World. It's growing increasingly scary to witness for Christ in our world, increasingly challenging. We're in a post-Christian world, and you know, there used to be a time where, you know, we were kind of still running on the fumes of a Judeo-Christian background that the Western culture has had, which has benefited Western culture and made Western culture utterly unique in world history. And we ran on the fumes of that for quite a long time, actually mostly without even realizing that we were running on fumes. But we are at the end of fumes right now. And you can tell it, you can feel it, right? There are certain assumptions. There's things that everybody used to believe 5 minutes ago that that not only do people no longer believe, but are actually actively hostile towards. And so you feel this kind of, you know, we're not even running on fumes anymore, we're running on empty, completely empty. And so that can be very dispiriting, very disheartening. But we have reason for confidence, actually, quite a powerful confidence for witness in our world. And so we're going to look at some scenes from the book of Acts and talk about the fact that we proclaim Christ as none other. There is no other salvation. There's no one else who's going to rescue us. As I said earlier when praying, we are not going to vote our way out of what we send our way into. It is not going to happen. It's Christ or chaos. And there is none other. But we need confidence for that. They need confidence to move from the head to the heart with that. And so we're going to be looking at Acts to get some inspiration for witness in our world. And so that's going to start next week, that series. And then just to close us out here and where we started, I started out talking about the fact that we relaunch into a different kind of world since Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And you could argue that act, that heinous act, is kind of the culmination of something that's been brewing in our culture, an inability to even stand to withstand the different point of view, or the inability to hear truth, which has grown in our world, and an open hostility to truth. But this kind of thing was foretold, right? And I'm going to briefly, and I mean very briefly, because I know I'm a preacher, and preacher says brief, the translation is like half an hour, right? And I'm not doing it to you, I promise. I'm an honest preacher this morning. All right, I got you, fam, all right? Because I know we got like potluck to happen, and I get it, all right? A little bit longer. But let me look at 2 Timothy 3 and very quickly take us through where we are right now. This kind of thing that we've seen this week was foretold. And I don't mean that in some trite way to dismiss the horror of what happened. This is a young man cut down in the prime of life. His wife is now a widow, or his kids are now without a dad. Right, and this was meant to shut him up, and this is also meant to shut people like you up. By the way, this is meant to shut you up. But this kind of thing was foretold. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's second letter to his protege Timothy. Right, I'm going to read the first part of it. Paul says this: "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They're the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Right. Now, if I was actually going full-blown and preaching this, what I would do is I'd preach this one chapter, and I'd put it into two different parts, and I'd preach this first chunk that I just quoted, and then I'd 1 week, and the next week I'd preach the next chunk. That's how weighty this is. Not going to happen today. But if you take all that bad stuff, that's a really bad forecast. Right, that's a forecast for, you know, for terrible stuff. Paul's just being honest, right? And this is, he's writing to a protege of his, a young guy who was sent to pastor this great church at Ephesus, right? Which Ephesus, if you know Christian history, is the church mentioned most in the New Testament, because it was a big deal. Sent a lot of people from Ephesus for Christ, right? A large church, or a large network of house churches at that time. Significant place, Ephesus, significant kind of culture, and significant church. And Timothy's young. He's a young biracial guy sent to pastor it, and Paul wants to encourage him. And you read that, you're like, that's not very much encouragement. That's terrible. Paul's just being honest. He's saying, look, here's what's coming. You could argue, in light of what happened earlier this week, this is the kind of thing that gets somebody killed. You take all this in a cultural soup, and this is the kind of thing that gets somebody killed. These are the kinds of things, and many more, that got Charlie Kirk killed. These are the kinds of things that make people want to shut Christians up on the political / ideological spectrum, to shut conservatives up. It's this kind of stuff and much more. And it's the kind of thing that you look at and I look at and you're absolutely wide-eyed with fear and you're like, oh my gosh, let me self-censor on social media. Let me self-censor at work. Let me self-censor with my neighbors because I'm staring at this and yep, it's about this awful, and good grief, I'm scared and I don't want to get shot too. But Paul presents an opposite of this right after this, a contrast, right? And what you'd be expecting, if I told you there's a contrast to what he just listed, all the things he just enumerated, these terrible things, you could say, okay, so the contrast is like, so Jesus is going to make some things better, right? Like for every one of those nasty things, point for point, it's like, and then here's what Jesus is going to do. And it's going to be really, it's going to be like rainbows and unicorns, and you're going to get a pony and like a pot of gold. It's going to be like awesome. Let's see. Here's the contrast. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and what you have become convinced of, because you know from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is that the answer you expect to such a terrible forecast? The answer, in part, is, of course, Jesus. And he doesn't mention the gospel in this particular passage, but I think we can assume, knowing Paul, that also the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus and the gospel, the Holy Scriptures, faith in Jesus, and then different kinds of formation, teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, different kinds of ministry, different kinds of equipping. But all of that bears down on who? On Timothy. That's the answer. The answer is Timothy. You believe in Jesus. And you hold to the scriptures. And you've received equipping for every good work. And you have me as an example. That's the answer to this forecast. And that's right. It's always been the Lord's answer. Read the Bible. Right? In Genesis 6. What happened? Genesis 6 is freaky. Because apparently, like, some supernatural beings rebelled against God, came down, had sex with women, made all kinds of monstrous creatures. And there was violence and craziness in the world. And God's answer is, hey, Noah, build an ark. What? I'm going to flood this place, build an ark. And only you and your family are going to survive this. Right? When the Egyptians were oppressing the Hebrews, right, and for generations, and they got to the point where they were trying to kill all the males because they wanted to commit genocide against them, God's answer was, hey, Moses, I got something for you to do. I'm going to be with you. I got you. It's going to be a lot of miracles and a lot of fireworks, but hey, Moses, right? Going back a little bit further, what was the answer to the Tower of Babel? Abraham. And his wife. And they were old. So all you boomers, Abraham was a boomer. This is how God works. This is what we're relaunching into. The world's become a bit darker. But you know what else? The Lord's on the move. I have an X account, or it used to be Twitter. And I've been paying attention to things since all this happened on Wednesday. And you know what I see? I see people saying things like, man, since this happened, I feel like the world's like getting really evil. I'm wondering if God has the answers. I think I'm going to go to church on Sunday. Hey, I'm going to church on Sunday. Can you just walk in? I'm not joking. And then that one comment gets a bazillion and one follow-up comments with, yeah, me too. Hey, I just bought a Bible for the first time. I started reading. One young lady said, I started reading. I can't unsee the truth I saw. All right? One guy, he's a YouTuber. He's interesting enough. He's politically conservative, but he's not religious. He said, yeah, because of this, I think I'm going to go start going back to church, and I'm going to see about raising a family. This is everywhere. Now, I don't know how much of that's real. It's a moment, right? People get caught up in a moment. You get caught up in your emotions. You say things. You feel things. You don't follow up. That's like, what, every New Year? Right? So I get it. There's not a one-to-one correlation between every person saying what they're going to do and then doing it. I get it. But good grief. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. What would God do if 10% of them follow through? We are relaunching into a world that's become a little bit darker, and we're relaunching into a world where God's light's going to shine brighter. All this that we do, Christian Ed and small groups, this is us with the power of God working to equip God's people to become Timothys, to answer the nonsense of Satan and this world. This relaunches this year. So shine bright. Because God's got this. But he's going to have this through you. And through me. He's going to have this through us. Amen? Praise God.
Let me just all sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father.
You are dismissed for potluck.